Just sometimes you just are so blessed to meet someone who is just a major warrior for God. And this next person just overwhelmed me with her heart. It's amazing.
Building spirituality, family, health, and business. This is the Giant Builders with Lois Wyant.
All right, hey Giant Builders, I am so happy to see you. And don't forget, we have a new media page and a new sponsors page. So please check them out and make sure you're following us on our social medias. Those links are below. And the media page and the sponsor page is on our website, thegiantbuilders.com. So today we are speaking with Ethel Rucker. Hi, Ethel, how are you?
Hi, how are you, Lois?
I'm fine. Oh,
Thanks for having me.
it's an honor. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about you?
Oh, sure. Okay, my name is Pastor Ethel Rucker. My husband and I founded an organization called Christian Development Center. I'm a grandmother. Oh, I love that part. That's a
Oh,
real
me
highlight.
too. Isn't it the
It's
best?
the best. I'm a grandmother, I'm an author, an entrepreneur, work in our community, a community leader, and just an average everyday person to me.
Oh, well, I think that's God often uses the average everyday person. So, tell us a little about your organization.
Oh, okay. My husband and I, it's a grassroots organization. We started it in our family room with our three reluctant children 24 years ago. And
Okay.
that's amazing to us, because most of the time when you start at work, you at least have five families or support around you. But it was just he and I and our three children. And we opened our doors and started teaching the word. We were instructed by the Lord to do so. And like I said, 24 years later, through the pandemic and everything, we're still standing and we're grateful. Our organization, actually, we do food and clothing for those that are homeless and in need. We have an Inrooted Love Ministries where we teach relationship building tools and skills in order to help educate and keep families strong and strengthen. We also have a Joshua Project where we teach financial literacy, how to do dream boards, how to interview, how to money works in the real world. And what else do we have? Seems like we have so much going on. We just recently partnered with 211 United Way in our area, the West End, and we're in the IE, San Bernardino County, where we'll actually be like, where we take all these calls in from the cities and we will be dispersing. When people call in, if they have any kind of emergencies, crisis, whatever, they'll call in and then we'll refer them out. So when we partner with our city, we're actually case managers with the city of Montclair. So we're with the homeless on the streets. We're ground boots on the ground, as they say. So we got a lot of different hats that we're wearing because we're definitely community driven.
Do you sleep?
I do,
Find
Lois.
a little spare time in there to get a little shut eye.
I do sleep.
Okay. So which part of your ministry do you feel, I don't, I'm trying to think how to word this and not make it sound like, okay, well, okay. Which part of the ministry do you feel God is emphasizing more to you?
For me, it's our marriage ministry, relationship building ministry, because we started that so many years ago in our homes, because we always felt there was a need for couples to stay connected. Because when children start coming, the bills are constantly rolling in, the focus oftentimes shifts to that, and they lose that connectivity. And so we create a space where they would come to our home, they would have dinner, we would play games, and we would just encourage them to just like even slow dance together. Ooh.
Oh, we're gonna play some music and you're gonna dance.
All right,
No dance.
I have to refocus, to get away from all the hustle and bustle, because they are demanding, right? And so we need to always reconnect. My husband and I started that, and then we also ourselves would get away when our children really little, still go away the weekends, get away just to get away. Here, you take the kids, it's just us, constantly reaffirming to each other that this marriage that God has given us was our focus. And our children, of course, grow, they get older and they leave the nest, and you too sometimes have lost that friendship, have lost that love relationship that you had, that fire you had when you first got together, that passion. You know, so that to me is my passion, because divorce, as you know, Lois, is just going through the roof, all over the board, or just divorcing and quitting and giving up. So for me, that's my passion.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I can see that God's really opened your heart to that. And so tell me a little bit about your book.
Oh, sure. Okay. From that, what you just heard, all that passion and God opening in my heart, we wrote this book, my husband and I together. It's 10 principles. It's titled From Misery to Marital Bliss. 10 principles that God gave us, because in the beginning, we just didn't know how to love each other. We didn't have the tools. We were attracted to each other, but loving each other is a totally different thing. Learning to respect, to honor, submit, all that kind of stuff. Pray for one another. See each other as friends and not enemies. Understanding our different temperaments and things like that. God had to teach me that, because I didn't have that growing up. I didn't have any role models. My father left when I was 5. My mother was in an abusive relationship. She was the perpetrator, but nonetheless, I saw that domestic violence. So when I got married, I had no clue how to do this well. And then in my time with God, He's so mindful of us. He began to download the principles and showed me how do this, do this, do this. And it turned our relationship around. 40 years on this, in Christmas, my birthday, Christmas Eve, 40 years it'll be, we've been celebrating. And I'm so grateful to the Lord.
Well, we're going to be 40 years next year. So, all right, high five.
Congratulations.
So I love the fact, I read your book. I love the fact that you are really honest about your past, your how you were brought together. I mean, just, and a lot of times we don't think about the fact that our partner had such a completely different upbringing. And I love the fact that you're so honest about that, and how that was a kind of a light bulb moment for you, it seems.
I believe that people relate to being authentic, genuine, real, transparent. You know, time out for all the masks that we wear, trying to carry, make it seems like everything's this perfect world when there's no such thing. And so when we do that, when we pull back and share, then people can say, oh, she got through that, they made it through that, then there's hope for me. So
And we need hope. We need hope. So and all right, so give me a couple, share some of your principles with us. And don't share all of them, because I want people to read the book.
I know there's one that women truly cringe at, because I know I did, and that was that submission one, right? Because
Yeah, you wrote that
I just understood when God, it's my time in the Word, and started reading, God taught me the principle is a mutual submission one to another. As the
one
man is submitted to Him, right? And He's leader, but He leads us, He covers us, He protects us, He builds us. He submitted to Jesus because Jesus loved us, right? And so in that, He gave us from that place, He taught me that it was a mutual submission that my husband and I needed to learn to walk in. So it wasn't a dominating thing. It wasn't like I didn't have a mind or a brain and wasn't intelligent, but it meant for us to have times where I would say what I have to say, and he could listen to me and say what he had to say, because the whole thing is we're following God's leadership. What does he want for the good of the whole of this relationship? So we understood that it was no person dominating another person. That was never, ever God's intent or heart. These are two powerful entities he's bringing together, two powerful people. They have to merge now and become one. Well, that submission is key. And then I read a book, which was called Bunny Wilson. He brought that across my path, which talked about red light, yellow light, and green light. And she was teaching about submission. And she said, well, the red light means there's a time you're going to just need to stop and pause, put it on hold. The yellow light means that you're going to have to move cautiously. And green light, of course, is clearance to go. And you need to know when to do what at the. So submission was huge for me because I didn't see that. My mother, like I said, she was the dominant person in our family. And so submitting to a man was like, totally
They're
way
like,
off its way.
that's not what I'm saying. That's not happening.
Right.
Yeah.
Didn't even know how to do it and respect them too. So that was one. And then the other one was a principle of honor. And honor to me is lost in this culture, period. So we need to bring it back. The Bible even teaches children, honor your mother and father, because there's a promise to that for them. And I believe there's a promise in that for us. And I remember Gary Smalley, you guys can look him up. He's been around a long time. He has YouTubes and all that. And he came across our path and he was teaching about different things. And honor was one of them. And I remember when my husband came home one day, God had placed it in my heart to humble myself and to have him sit down on the couch and put his feet up on the ottoman and unlace his shoes and all of that. And that took a lot because, not too many of us humble ourselves. But
Like,
when I
get
did
me
it,
after this.
but when I did it, something, he was like, what happened? What's going on with woman, right? And so when I did it, there's something, Lois, that shifted in his heart. It's like God turned his heart towards me in a tender way. And from that place, it's the relationship start to even become even more beautiful. I don't ask me what happened other than the honoring him, showing him that I appreciate him going out working hard for our family and just loving on him in that manner. Honor. And so from that place, like I said, things start turning around again. So those are a couple of the principles, principle of honor, principle of submission. They're powerful in any relationship.
Yeah, there's major reasons why God brought those out in the Bible, and I think that we, like you said, we just changed the interpretation to fit our own self and our own selfishness.
Yeah. That's so true. That's so true. So, yeah.
Well, great. Do you have any other books in the making?
Actually, I wrote this one. This one was with my mentor. I don't know if you know Kyle Wilson. Have you ever heard of Jim Rohn?
I have not, but I'll look him
Oh,
up.
you have to look up Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn is the reason, he's like the godfather of all the personal development people, the
Okay.
Tony Robbins, all those people, the Les Browns, and
Okay.
Kyle was one. He was and Jim Rohn were business partners for 18 years. And so anyway, Kyle's my mentor and business partner. And he actually, that's me down there, asked me
Oh.
to be part of this book, which is Purpose, Passion, and Profit. It is on Amazon and it has like Emmy Award winners and people that have been in all these great things and entrepreneurs and multimillionaires and all that kind of stuff. And I was asked to write a part in this book on conflict resolution, dealing with marriage again. You know, you're going to have conflict, right?
Oh yeah. Well, all right. Talk to me about
Right. And
that.
so we had to, and my husband and I have created a course through our Inrooted Love where we teach how to have healthy conflict and how to take a time out, so to speak, and just giving people strategies and tools so they can get along. So sometimes you may need to put yourself in a public setting, especially if you have two hothead people. So that way you put restraints on each other because you're not going to act crazy in publicly
They're
some
gonna
of the
pull out
time.
the boxing gloves in public.
Right. And then we teach in our workshops, we do bring boxing gloves and we say the box,
Oh.
in an analogy, and we give them that
You don't
metaphor.
put them on their hands?
No, we put them on ours. And we say, but the boxers, what do they do when they come into the ring? They touch
The
gloves
chat, yeah.
because they wide mutual respect. And then we talk about how, how your partner, how they're wired and their temperament and things like that, and learning how to engage them and giving them time. Because in the beginning of our relationship, my husband, I would say things and then I'd be ready to be all lovey-dovey. But then he had to process all those negative words that I had said to him. So learning that the temperament and giving them space and things like that. And we put things in place. We say this: if your marriage were a business, would it be operating in the red or the black? And then we teach them if it's in the red, how to move it from the red to the black. By how you're gonna have conflict. That's how the two become one. But how you do it, you don't have to be disrespectful. You don't have to put hands on each other and things like that. So that was part of that. And then another book my husband just released with Kyle Wilson was The Next Level Your Life. And this Tom Ziegler's in there and some other people. Mo Rock from the LA Tribune, which is out here, is a big newspaper. So those kind of people are in it. And I don't have anything else yet. I'm trying to revamp this one and have my husband to do a flip side, like the blue side. This is a pink side. The blue side.
Oh, that would be so cool.
With his, what he was going through, because coming from Mississippi at, and chopping cotton and 100 degree weather at 6, 7, and 8 years old, never having a childhood, doesn't know what it's like to have a Christmas, big Christmas presents and none of that. He didn't have any of that. And to become the man he is today is amazing. So I told him, you need to put your side in here because people need to hear how you felt and how you overcame, how you transformed and became the better man that you are today.
Aw, that would be all right. You'll have to let us know when you finally convince him to do that.
Amen. It will be helpful. So.
Oh yeah, just the whole completely different perspective as far as, and I think that he would be writing it for the husbands, but I think it would be amazing for the wives to read that part too, and also for the husbands to read your side of the story. It would just put everything so together.
I agree.
Yeah. All right, we're putting that in our prayers. He's going to do that.
Oh, yeah. He will, because I think it's so vital, especially in our community, in our African-American community, where a lot of our people came up, single family homes and things like that. And the men, too, that he needs to speak to that, because a lot of them go into marriage and they have no clue how to make it work. And our families are constantly breaking up because they don't have the tools, like I was saying, and they don't know. But he felt the same way they probably feeling, like hopeless, or how can I take care of my family? Whatever goes through their minds, you know. So I think it would be helpful.
Well, that would be really, really good. Yeah.
Thank you. You want me to talk a little bit more about our ministry, what we're doing out in California? Okay.
Yes, please. Well,
we actually are partners with the city. We have several partners. God has blessed us with partners on the outside of the ministry, the hospitals, the clinics, the city, Stater Brothers, and some others, Metro Honda, Metro Akron. These partners come along to help us with the homeless situation that we're having. We are looking to, our goal is to actually either have a emergency housing working with the city, or either a motel that they're going to buy and renovate, or we're going to get some land and build some tiny homes or some kind of village. All of that is being talked about for us to be in partnership with them. My husband and I have taken people off the streets into permanent housing, sometimes relocating them back to their families, making sure that they have the food, the clothing. And then we also wrap around services that they need, mental. We work with a clinic that does that, medicines, things like that. It's the whole man that we help to navigate. And what people think, they just have this perception that the homeless people are just drug addicts and stuff. No, a lot of times, because the housing and market has just shot up, people are homeless and they're working every day. They're hard working American citizens. They just can't afford it. Things are just way out of whack. So we run across more people like that than we do the drug addicts and things like that are just don't have enough money to even take care of themselves anymore.
Yeah. I went to a presentation kind of type thing for homeless people. And I was one of those people who thought, well, it's drug addiction or whatever, you know, and they had people there talking about the fact that they ended up homeless because of medical bills. They ended up homeless. One lady ended up homeless because she moved to Indiana with her boyfriend, and then her boyfriend like kicked her out, and she had nothing else, nowhere else to go, because she couldn't get back to, I think she was from Texas, you know. So it's not always that there's a mental situation or a drug or that type of thing. There's a real need for some people.
It's true. And I meet more of those than the other. I think more of those than the other, like you said, circumstances, life happens, and they end up in a situation that they weren't planning on being there. Things just change for them. So being there and being in a position to be pastors, even offering the spiritual advice as well as the natural things that they need to, is truly a blessing. I know that I'm in God's perfect will for my life. And to me, that brings the most fulfillment, is I know that this is what I was sent here to do, and to be a help to others. And I'm just grateful.
You're such a blessing.
Oh, thank you, Lois. Thank you.
Well, so do you have anything else
Oh
that
my
you're doing?
gosh. Well, we have another, we have some other partnerships that are looking to partner with us, and that will be where we'll assist people with if they have Medicare or Medicaid or something like that, and they need housing, that there's now a component, because even the medical profession and industry realize, even though they may be able to take care of the physical man and get them better, well, they leave and they have nowhere to go. So now they're partnering together and they want to partner with us on that too. And then there's a big transit thing that's coming through our area here to kind of alleviate some of the traffic and stuff. And so
Oh.
they're inviting us to be a part of actually helping to get the information out to the community and things like that. And then I was in a meeting yesterday where they've already received all this funding into our county. And so this organization now is wanting us to come together and talk about what the jobs that we can offer to help our community. And so I'm involved in a lot of different things. What else? I'm part of the Negro National, it's SGV, National Council of Negro Women, started by Marilyn McLeod Bethune, which is 2 million strong all over. They have all these different sections and they do a lot of service work to help give scholarships and
Yeah.
educate and help and all that. So I'm a part of them. They reached out to me and asked me would I be a part because of the work that they see us doing in our community. And I'm like, sure.
Sure. I can cut my sleep hours to three.
What people don't realize about me, Lois, is I get plenty of sleep. My husband be saying, girl, you a lounge. He called me a lounge lizard. So tired. Even though I have a lot going on, I get my rest. I know how to shut it down. I know how to turn the phone off. I know how to do all of that. So
That's
I've
a
learned
good
that.
thing. That's a
You
good
have
thing.
to, because
Oh, yeah.
you be drained, right? So
Oh,
no.
yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Did you find that, like, okay, you're dealing with a lot of societal type things. Does it drain you sometimes?
Oh boy, yes, it
Yeah.
does. Because it's like you can't help everybody.
Yeah.
As much as my heart wants to, I can. And that to me is the part that challenges me the most, is because it's like, Lord, if I could help all these people that come our way, I would love to. But in reality, I know that we can't. There's certain situations that we just can't help them. So yes, it becomes draining. But we learned years ago, like I said, there's times I'm here at home and I have my feet up with my coffee or my water or my tea, and I do take my siesta. We went to Italy last year, my husband and I, in Greece. We spent some time there, and I know they shut down. They shut down like two hours or something in the afternoon just to relax. I said, "Ooh, we need to do this in America," but I do it on my own. Where people get to rest. And that's, to me, is huge. And so I make time for that. I make time for myself. If they talk about self-love, self-care, if I can't give from a place where I'm not rejuvenated and restored. I can't give from an empty vessel.
Oh, yeah.
I spend a
Yeah.
lot of time in meditation in the morning. I've been doing it for years, in meditation and prayer, before I even start talking to the world and all this stuff. I do like Jesus did. And he modeled it. He would always get away and go up into the mountains to
Right,
be
right.
away from his disciples. Well, I do that in my life. So that's where I get my strength. That's where I get my energy.
Oh, amen. Good job.
Amen.
All right. Any closing thoughts?
Oh, well, I would just like to say, in the chaotic things that are going on, like you just said, we are living in some times that are just so uncertain, but we can find our peace and our hope in our Lord. Those of you that are believers, he's our anchor, he's our trust, and we continue to look to him and continue to trust him. And he said he would lead us and direct us in all of our paths if we acknowledge him. So I just want you to hold on to the solid rock, keep your faith, and never ever quit, because he said he'll never quit on you.
Oh, amen. All right, all right. I don't do this. So, Giant Builders, this is your first one. I don't do this all the time, but we're going to do this. I'm going to need to pray for you, girl. So, oh, Father, I just thank you so much for bringing Ethel into my path and just to be able to share her story. I mean, her heart is so big for you and for her community. And I just ask that you be with her and bless her with what she's doing and how she just is just being your light, Lord, out in them. Dark world that we live in, she is being your light. Thank you, Lord, for her heart and for her faith to you, and just for her willingness to be the worker. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ethel. I just so appreciate you sharing your story. It really, you are amazing.
Thank you, Lois. Thank you for having me, for real. I really appreciate it. To be able to share the story, because God opens doors for you to go. You never know who's going to listen. Never know who's going to be impacted. So thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
All right. Jam Builders, we'll see you next Tuesday.
All right. Blessing. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Giant Builders with Lois Wyant.